This takes me back to that movie, right? Those of you that are old enough to know that movie that is shown, they can make it, remakes and do all, that movie, Charlton Heston. Yeah, I see the nods and the smiles. There's just nothing like that movie. Do you ever wonder how they did the water in that movie? Right now we'd have a computer-generated thing, right? But this movie came out in 1956, The Ten Commandments, right? Came out in 1956. To give you perspective, that's the year I was born. It was a long time ago that that movie came out. You're all doing the math. How old is she? So, 1956, they didn't know how to do this stuff. So how did they make the water part? Anybody know? Because I do. I looked it up years ago because I'm like, how'd they do that? Prayed hard. Well, that's how the Egyptians... Yeah. Anyway, it's Niagara Falls. Upside down. Seriously. It's a film. Next time you see that movie, it's Niagara Falls upside down. And so, now you know, inquiring minds. I'm a sick woman. I have to figure these things out. So, just saying. So this is the 12th message. 12th message in the Hall of Faith series. Wow, that's a lot of messages. You only have four more to go. You only have four more. By then, we should know what it means to truly be faithful, because we've learned a lot of lessons. What have we learned about faith? What stuck over the last several months? It's a lot of work. I don't think I preached that, but you're right. It is a lot of work. You're right. What did we learn? I mean, there are lots of people we've talked about. What did we learn about faith? I'm not asking you to remember all the specifics and to put them together, but I'm hopeful some of it's stuck. What kind of faith do we need? Persistent faith. Thank you. Wow. Do I have to do them all again? So we've had people that have shown us bold faith. You remember? There was bold faith. We've got to be bold. Persistent, acceptable sacrifice. Remember, that's the first one. That was Abel way back when. Okay, faith that doesn't let go. That was the one wrestling Jacob. Right? Say that again. Right. Trusting faith, very much so. Because the very first verse of Hebrews 11, where this is based, this whole series says this: faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's the definition of faith according to Hebrews. So do you have faith? As a congregation, do you have faith? You better have faith, because I bragged about you in Denver. I was given the opportunity, with about an hour's notice, to stand up at a luncheon and to talk about you. And it was so powerful that people cried. It wasn't that my speech was so powerful. Your story is so powerful and is such a testimony of faith that people came up to me afterwards and they said, thank you. We are so encouraged. We are so encouraged that God has been so present with your church and is continuing to bless you. And we can't wait to hear next year what's happened. Wow. Wow. It's good to have that reputation. By the way, the president of the denomination wishes you well. He came and talked to me. He heard about you too. Okay, so not only the former president, but now the current president, John Wendrick, is following Mission Covenant Church. You know who else was in that luncheon who was crying? One of your former pastors was there. Adria was there. And those of you that have been here longer than about 10 years, she was a very, very young first call pastor when she came here. And she is so proud of you and so excited. And she told me, she said, please, please give them my love. So I give you greetings from a former pastor who is now following you with great interest in what is happening. So By faith. Hebrews 11:29 says, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. Okay, so what kind of faith did they have? Each story that we've looked at, we've asked what kind of faith. What kind of faith did the Israelites have? Undying, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry? Complete faith, yeah. They had to have faith to walk through. I almost gave George, I just didn't get it to you, almost got you a clip of the movie. Because as they're crossing, they're looking up and they're like, whoa. Can you imagine what it was like to say that again? Is that what they were thinking? Maybe. Who knows? But the kind of faith I see is awful faith. See, I think you're going to remember this. She said they had awful faith. Full of awe. I cannot for the life of me imagine what it was like to be one of those Israelites and to walk across that dry seabed and to see Niagara Falls upside down. That would have been something to see. And their faith was forward moving, right? Not a good place to stand still. Would you agree? Would you agree? There's the water. And it's like, man, I'm moving. Come on, camel. Come on, camel. Get on, move on. Forward moving. Awful faith. So Moses, we talked about this the last time, two Sundays ago. Moses is used by God to bring 10 plagues. Remember? Not going to make you remember them. Pharaoh finally lets the people go. They leave Egypt with all of their belongings and their livestock. And in Exodus 13, it says, they set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went in front of them with a pillar of fire by day to lead them along the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they might travel by day and by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. And then in Exodus 14, it says, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the minds of Pharaoh and his officials were changed toward the people, and they said, what have we done, letting Israel out of our service? So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 picked chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the Israelites who were going out boldly. I love that word. They weren't just going, oh no, boldly. We're out of here, man. We're following God. We are on our way. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, his chariot drivers and his army. They overtook them camped by the sea. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt? What happened to their boldness? They were going boldly along. Let us alone, and let us serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still. What a powerful story of faith. We know the story, right? We've seen a little of the movie, right? At least clips, those of you that are young, hopefully. Caroline says, no, I've never seen it. Okay. You too. There are classics that everybody needs to see. Just saying. I bet you missed a detail in the story, though, because I did. I missed a detail. I love it when that happens, when Scripture surprises me. Because What happened to the pillar of cloud? What happened to the pillar? What did it do? They've been following, that's why I read this part. They've been following a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire for days. What happened to it? Yeah, where'd it go? It went behind them. Oh. I've never paid attention to that part before. I've never paid attention. I remember seeing it in the movie. I remember the fire, you know, holding back the Egyptians, and that's part of the reason, but I think there's more to it than that. It kept them from going backwards. It kept the Israelites from going back to Egypt. It came behind them, was between them and their past. We're going to hear them complain to Moses over and over and over that they should have stayed in Egypt. We're going to hear that in Exodus. They're trapped between fire and the ocean. There's no way out. They've been following that pillar of fire, that pillar of cloud. Now it's no longer in front to follow. The ultimate faith. God is no longer visibly present in front of them. They have to finally, truly step out in faith with walls of water on either side. Will the water fall on them? Might they be mistaken for an Egyptian? Will the Egyptians catch them? Where's the pillar of fire? I need it. I need it. How much faith did it take to walk across that dry seabed? A lot of faith. Mission Covenant is known for its faith. And when I talk about you, it's even more known. No pressure. No pressure. I was thinking about you all a lot in Denver. A lot, more than you know, and praying a lot. And I was thinking about your faith. And I was thinking about the story about the furnace. And when the furnace died, and you didn't know what to do, and what happened? What happened? Tell the story. A gift came in. And how much was the gift?
10,000.
Enough for the furnace. Oh my. And I told that in Denver. That was amazing. And you took that as a sign that you had a purpose. That you were not going to be like Bethany. You were not going to close. You had a purpose. Then you committed to one another that you were going to pray and you were going to tithe. And you were going to go forward boldly. You made a decision to revitalize. Somebody share something about that. Tell me about the decision to revitalize. This is your time for testimony. Seriously. Because I can tell it, but I wasn't here. It was scary. I'm sure it was. What made you decide to revitalize? To go through that process with the denomination. What made you decide? Because you're the poster child. You know that? With that boat up there? You're the poster child, yes.
Well, because I was here when the church split and all of the people left, and there was 12 of us sitting around the table. And we were very, very scared. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that feeling when the rug is pulled out from under you. But in that group, there was enough, a spark of faith that caught on to all of us and said, we're not going to be so frightened that we're going to give up. We're going to stick with our faith and believe what God has done previously.
Ah.
We will do at this, from this point on.
A faith that remembers. Good, thank you. Then you made a decision to go into debt, to update this facility, to do the remodeling, to take out pews. People were shocked. They said, really? They took out their pews. And I said, yep. But tell me a little about that story. Tell me. There are people here that weren't here. Tell me about that decision. What was the vision?
The vision was to make it more comfortable for non-church people to come in and be willing to sit and to be welcoming. And so carpeting and chairs and all these things were part of that.
So it was all about being welcoming to people who weren't yet part of your family here. Yes? Yes?
Flexibility.
Flexibility. Okay? You made a decision to remodel and update the parsonage so that you could draw a pastor, and you committed to having a package for a pastor that was complete for the first time. That's huge faith. That's huge faith, because where was the money going to come from? Where is it going to come from? But you stepped out and you did it. Now, you've made a decision to accept a building. I was in that building this morning. It's ready for us. The Bethany people have been working so hard to have it just so. So that when we take possession this Friday, it's here. It's the best it can be for us. But it's a huge leap of faith, is it not? We can't afford that building. You know what I called you in Denver? We need something. I called you what?
Crazy.
Well, yeah. No, they called you that. I called you the Bumblebee Church. Do you know why? Caroline's looking at me. Scientifically, a bumblebee cannot fly. Physics, a bumblebee cannot fly, but it does it anyway. And that's Mission Covenant Church. You can't do these things, but you're going to do them anyway. You're going to do them, and I believe that. I'm excited. I listened to so many speakers, so much worship, so many wonderful things, and I'm going, yep, Mission Covenant is going to do this. We're going to look back, and we're going to look at this point right now, and we're going to go, that's the day that we said we're going to do what it takes to live into our mission, because that's what this congregation is about being Mission Covenant Church. We're going to go forward knowing that God's going to part the waters. We're not going to drown. He's going to part the waters. We could stay in place and we could be terrified, maybe be reluctant. We're going, I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure I want to do this. But it's not an option to stand still. It's too late. It's not an option. We're called to fully use that gift. We are being given a massive gift. We're going to be able to worship in a sanctuary that makes room for more people to come. We're going to be able to do that. We're going to be able to have classrooms there where children's ministry can grow, because the children are able to do their program fully in a way they can't do it here. We're going to be able to free up space and to use space there and here to live into the vision for serving this community. We're going to have large community rooms where we can feed people. That's one of the visions that I've heard, where we can host the youth of this community and we can bring such healing to Orange. We have that opportunity. On Friday, Bethany's sign will come down. It will no longer be Bethany Lutheran Church. It will be Mission Covenant Church, all of it. Wow! Think about that for a moment. When you go this afternoon and you hold those people in your heart, I want you to imagine that God's presence is there. And that he is going to lead us, maybe with fire, maybe with water walls, but he is truly leading us into a destiny that he set forward for us a long time ago. Make no mistake, if we don't continue to live out our mission faithfully, we're going to end up just like them. One of the things that we've been praying about at Bethany is that other churches in Orange, when they come today, will go, not us. We're never, ever going to have a service like this. We're never going to do it. We are called to have awful faith. God gave us that building. That is awesome. It's awesome. We're called to have forward-moving faith. It is not an option to stand still at this point. We're to move forward. We are Mission Covenant Church. Say it with me. Mission. Say it with me. Mission Covenant Church. Mission. Not status quo Covenant Church. Not I'm not leaving my building and going over there, Covenant Church. Not I'm not giving up my favorite things, Covenant Church. Not we've always done it that way. Those are the six last words of the church, Covenant Church. We are Mission Covenant Church. Part the waters, Lord. We're coming. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, thank you. Oh, thank you for having such faith in us. Give us that faith, Lord, that we will march boldly forward, not looking to the left, not looking to the right, but following your lead. Lord, we are privileged and we are chosen. Let us rejoice. It's in your name we pray. Amen.